I hope you're okay. To finish complete the fellowship along this line, we have to go back, as it were, to the last chapter of Matthew. Excuse me, I don't mean that way. To the previous chapter, that is chapter 24. See, chapter 24 and 25 covers the Lord's prophecy concerning the kingdom. It covers Israel. You know, you need to know what will he prophesied, what will happen to Israel, and so on. From the time of his ascension to the time of his coming back, then he would cover the church, the church, which is where these parables is found. And then lastly, he will speak concerning the nations. Today, if you want to know the prophecy concerning the whole world situation, insofar as prophecies concerning the future is concerned, well, even the understanding of the past and the future, you need to know these three things. Number one, Israel. Number two, the church. And number three, the nations. At another time, I would surely like to talk about, as Brother Lee did, concerning the signs of the Lord's coming, the signs of the coming of Christ. This is not to just just to study prophecy and predict the future. No. When in this ministry, when it covers things like this, to know the signs, to study the prophecy from Daniel, from the book of Daniel, right? Particularly about the 70 weeks and about especially the last week, which is the last 7 years of this age, and all the way to Revelation, we should know the prophetic word. In First Peter, it says this prophetic word confirms a lot of things, and so we need to heed this word. We need to heed and not misinterpret this. This word of prophecy is not subject to anyone's free interpretation. We need to know it properly. Nevertheless, the studying and the knowledge of these things concerning the Lord's coming is not to fulfill our curiosity or appetite to know, what is the number 666, what are those huge big locusts and this kind of a thing. No, we should never be distracted from God's eternal economy, even in the study of prophecy. I remember one time I was accompanying Brother Lee on flights to go here and there. This is in the late 80s during the turmoil. In fact, one of the visits was to San Francisco. I was with Brother Lee and Sister Lee in the visit San Francisco, 89 or 90, somewhere around there, right around the time when these messages were given, some of these concerning the signs of the Lord's coming. I was there, and I remember I was, on the plane. I just read books. I remember two occasions. These are little interesting anecdotes, but one occasion was I was reading, and Brother Lee walked by and said, "What are you reading?" I said, I was reading this book called I don't know in English what is the title in the LSM book. It was at that time put out by someone else. It's called Gospel Dialogue. You know, there's such a book, Gospel Questions or Gospel Dialogue by Watchman Nee. I was just reading it. Brother Lee say, almost like thumbs up, like, very good, very good. You need to study this. You know, the truth, mostly about the truth concerning the gospel. So many things, the proper knowledge of the gospel truth, the basic truth in the word. That was one. I remember that. And another time, I kind of gathered my boldness and said, Brother Lee, when are you going to talk to us about prophecy? And I said, especially in Daniel. And that was, I think, before the Daniel life studies, I think. I don't remember now. I said, when are you going to do this? He looked at me, Brother Lee, and just with no answer, just a little faint smile on his face. And I know that was the wrong question to ask. And multiple times, some of you older brothers know, Brother Lee would say something about the danger, talk about danger of getting distracted by prophetic study. It stirs up people's interest and curiosity, but it's also highly distracting. We need, I just repeat this word again, whatever we study in the Word, I don't care what you study, and there are many, many subjects in the world, in the Bible, always stay with God's economy. Always, I mean, study anything from the viewpoint of God's economy. Otherwise, you take the risk of being sidetracked, okay? Distracted. You know, the saints who write me, what about this? What about that? Many times I have just no peace to respond, you know, along this kind of lines. However, in the right way, with the right view, and with a proper burden, we ought to know these things. You know, the four things, main things we need to know about the signs of the Lord's coming, you know, when the Lord is coming, what it will be like. You need to study four things. Number one, you've got to know Israel, the future of Israel, the prophecy concerning the nation of Israel. So the reformation of Israel in 1948 and the retaking of Jerusalem in 1967 were milestones, key milestones in the fulfillment even of the Lord's prophecy concerning Israel, which is mentioned here Matthew 24. I just mentioned that. Number two, you need to know as far as the signs of the Lord's coming, you need to know something about the rapture of the saints. People just say, oh, way to go, you know, we're raptured. No, there are many raptures, at least three raptures. There are actually more than three raptures in the Bible. Enoch was raptured, right? So, it's not a simple matter to know these things. And Brother Lee, with the help of from the brethren and his own study, meticulous study of the Word, really, really have laid out for us very, very clear and compelling interpretation concerning the truth of the rapture. But we need to know these raptures, the time of the raptures and the ones who are being raptured, and the background or the context of that, all of this. You need to know those in order to know the signs of the Lord's coming. Then you need to know something concerning the Antichrist. Antichrist is very wrapped up with this, with the signs of the Lord's coming. Who is the Antichrist? What was he doing? And so forth. So you got that. You need to know the Antichrist. Then what? Last but not least, really, I should mention this actually first. That is the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation. Those 3.5 years, 1260 days, right? The last 3.5 years of this present age. That preceded the Lord's return. And then the Lord's coming itself, the stages of the Lord's coming, the word parousia really means presence, the presence of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. You need to know those things so that we are not misled. We're not given to human imaginations and erroneous, I would even say crazy interpretation. Brothers, don't just go on the internet and Google these things. Very likely they will give you something off. The likelihood is very high. Sorry to say, today even our own brothers and sisters are going to the internet to study these things. Not to mention that they're not according to God's economy. They are actually misleading. They are just funny, crazy human interpretations of things. So don't be so gullible, brothers and sisters. Don't be so naive, all right? It is safe for us to stay with the ministry, okay? It is just a safe thing to do. Now, just to come back, finish my thought of fellowship today. All right. This danger and loss of God's slaves or servants, or us, shall we say, is also covered in the previous chapter, the end of chapter 24. And there, this matter of the life side and the service side was also covered by the Lord. On the life side, it deals with eventually a watchful living. That's where he talks about, as in the days of Noah, so will the days of the Son of Man be. So the Lord uses the days of Noah to explain, to paint the picture of the day of his coming. You want to know? Go study the days of Noah. This summer, college training, the title, the subject, the theme is As in the Days of Noah. The young people need to know this. Today, our young people absolutely need to know what days and times we're in. It's the days of Noah. And where people are just befuddled, people are just given to all manners of pleasures and enjoyment of the world. And if you go study Genesis 6, it's much worse than that. The imagination filling people's hearts. In those days, the earth was filled with violence and utter lawlessness. Look, isn't this the world we're living in today? Totally, totally. And then the flood came. And And that's and then immediately the talk about the Lord talk about rapture, two in a field, two women grinding the millstone, and one is taken, the other is left. That's the rapture, showing that refers to all the believers. In their common daily existence, life, doing a job or whatever, tending to domestic responsibilities, so then one will be gone, the other remain. That means one is raptured to be with the Lord. This is one kind of rapture, right? Of the ripened ones, of the mature ones, so forth. And then the Lord's warning word, be watchful. Be watchful, because you don't know when that day will come. And he likened himself here, and consistently later on in Revelation by the Apostle John, that day will come like a thief. And if the householder knows this, he would not allow his house to be broken into. So for this reason, the Lord say, you better be ready. Be ready, because when you least expect it, the Son of Man is coming. I'll tell you one thing we know for sure, when the Lord comes, is that we don't know when the Lord comes. If you know it, that's not when the Lord is coming. It's in the least expected time, when we're caught, when everyone is caught doing whatever, the thief comes in the night. Because we know the thief comes to steal the precious things. Am I right? Not junk. So it depends. It depends our life with the Lord, our condition, our growth. Are we well-pleasing to him? Are we precious to the Lord? Okay, so that's on the side of life. Then on the side of service, and this is what I want to end this morning's fellowship with, is from verses 45 to 51. There it talks about slaves again. You see, so this and the next chapter, they're related. They're referring to something similar. So he say, who is the faithful and prudent slave whom the master has set over his household to give them food at the appointed time? Blessed is that slave whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Truly, I say to you that he will set him over his possessions. Brothers, this talk about encouragement. So now, this is the encouraging aspect. You know, the encouraging aspect. Just as what he spoke to those two slaves, the one who received the 5 talent and the 2, they received the praise from the Lord. And that should be an incentive to us. That should be an encouragement to us to fulfill our serving responsibilities today. So here, who is that faithful slave? I like to say this slave also have some description. The other one, the bad one, was what? Evil, useless, slothful. That's how they describe. This one, faithful, prudent, and what? Blessed. Blessed. Blessed is the slave. What does he do? There's only one thing the Lord said: to give food at the appointed time. To give food at the appointed time. This is a very pregnant verse. This is a very packed phrase, brothers and sisters. Give food at the appointed time. Today, in God's household, the church, in the church life we're in, our job is just a steward, which means a dispenser, like a waiter, to give food. In the old times, ancient times, they have huge, big, rich people have, wealthy people have huge households. Hundreds of people in there, maybe. And he has to have some steward there to distribute those wealth. Now, he may be rich, but how do you get these riches to the folks in the house for the enjoyment? Enter the stewards, the slaves. So today, what the Lord needs on the earth are such stewards, you and I. To what? To dispense the riches of Christ, to dispense the unsearchable riches of Christ. So Paul says, I am the least of all. I am the small Paul. But grace has been given to me to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. Brothers, we have been given so much, especially in the recovery, the truth, the word. But what about the giving of food? The giving of food, the ministering of this Christ as life in his word to people, to sinners, to the saints, even in the meetings, to speak for the Lord. The visitation of the brothers and sisters, the care of the saints, all is a form of stewardship, ministering Christ as grace to others for their profit, for their profit. And not only so, at the appointed time, at the right time, you know, this caused me to remember Isaiah 51, where the Lord, as a type, as the servant of Jehovah, would what? Would ask Jehovah to open his ears, to give him a word for the weary. Remember that? So that he would have a word to minister to the weary one. I think it's chapter 51. You can check Isaiah. Brothers and sisters, today we are all the servants of Jehovah, the little slaves. What should we be doing? Not just to care for our life, not just to just be just occupied, and I would even use the word usurped, with so many things, just like the worldlings, just like people around us. Brothers, no. We are stewards. We have a job to do. We need to be with the Lord. You know, morning revival, even our Bible reading, even our reading the life studies, even our time with the Lord is so that we can gather food. We can process the food so that we have a word. We have something of life of Christ that we can minister to the weary one, to the needy one. That's what the church needs. Don't look to the elders to do that. They are limited. You know, if 20%, 30%, one third of the church, better one half of the church or more, would do this faithfully, prudently, my, I tell you, that's it. That's how the church will be built up. Blessed is the slave that his master will find doing this when he comes. I always tell the story of Eugene Grulla Sr., who died. I suppose it was a stroke or a heart attack. I do not know the details. He died right when he was sitting there shepherding and ministering to a saint. He just died. Now, how about this? How about this? When the Lord comes, he will find us doing what? Ministering, distributing, dispensing food to his household. That's what we should be doing. Then, in contrast, you have this evil slave. By five more minutes. Evil slave. This evil slave says in his heart, my master delays. This is the first big problem today. Oh, I know the Lord is coming, but he's not here yet. He's delaying. That thought of delay will ruin us. That's why the Lord says, I come quickly. We don't know how quick is quick, but the thought of the Lord's coming imminently, quickly, will cause us to live in a certain way. Miss Barber and Watchman Nee took a walk when Watchman Nee was so young. And she is famous for knowing, expecting the Lord's coming. She was very helped along those lines. In fact, she wrote a wonderful hymn about, from Bethlehem? Something like that. There's a hymn. Someone of you can find that. Always expecting the Lord to return. He said, perhaps, he told Watchman Nee, when we turn the corner of this building on the sidewalk, the Lord will be there. Well, the Lord was not there. But the point was, he lived and served with a view of the Lord's soon coming. But the first mistake this slave said was, no, he's delaying. He's delaying. No problem. We can do our thing. It's not closed yet. No. Well, at a time that you don't think about, he shows up. And then number two, this evil slave began to beat his fellow slaves. My goodness, I can't imagine this. You say, well, I never beat the saints. I never. Well, to do anything that hurt the church, to do anything that offend or stumble the believers. How about just to be critical? Just some criticism. How about going around being judgmental, judging the saints? How about gossiping, all right? Just talking and spreading death. There are many things we can do to beat the fellow slaves. Rather than caring for them, strengthening them, we do the other things. Brothers, don't do that. And sisters, let there be no critical word or stumbling word that come out of our mouth towards especially the saints, the fellow slaves. And then thirdly, he was what? He drinks with the drunken. This means a life just in the world, a life in the world. This may not be mistreating the believers, being kind and tender-hearted and forgiving towards the believers, the saints. This is a very important one. You know, today there's things on the internet that they're brothers. These are not little brothers. These are senior brothers who would revile, speak reviling words and critical words about the co-workers, about the recovery. This is certainly a proud person thinking they are better. And also to don't do anything to lord it over the believers, to control them, to do these things like this. No. And to drink and be drunken is simply to keep company with worldly people, just drinking what they drink. No, there's no line between the saved and the unsaved. Light and darkness, a believer and an unbeliever. We lose our holy standing. We just become the same as the world is in so many things. Not fleeing the youthful lust to pursue Christ with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So all these things, what will cause us to be considered an evil slave? This is quite a warning of the danger. And the loss is here. And the master will cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's the same words. I mean, I don't know exactly what will happen, but brothers, just these words from the Lord alone should give us quite an amount of fear, godly fear. Am I right? Of what can happen to a person like that, to a believer like that. So that's not a good note to end the fellowship, right? There is plentiful encouraging words here. I hope these days, again, in the churches in Northern California, right, that the Lord is still gracious to us. The Lord is still speaking to us. And the direction is very, very clear that we need so many saints to rise up these days, to live this way and to serve in this way. I am just saying, among the other things, with the kingdom in view, with the next age in view, with the Lord's coming in view, and with a certain settlement of accounts in view, with the judgment seat of Christ in view. May the Lord use these words to sober us and warn us and also encourage us to go on. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Minoru, for these healthy words. We really thank the Lord. I just feel that, speaking for myself and encouraging all of us, that after this, to get into these things that our Brother Minoru presented and take them to the Lord, I believe these will be very healthy for us to know where we are. I really like this question. Where do we set our eyes today? Where do we set our eyes? So I believe everything that our brother presented, even beginning with this hymn from Watchman Nee, through these warnings of our Lord Jesus, getting into the prophecies in a proper way, not going on the internet, but are to understand it so that we may know what times we are living today and adjust our living and our service accordingly. So I just like to encourage us all to not let these words fall, but to get in them again. The recording will be on norcalchurches.org to rewatch. I would definitely encourage that, to be able to dive into this burden. And finally, we just have a few announcements, mainly related to the next sessions. So next Saturday will be our next session with Brother Minoru. That's June 18th. And this will be the final session for this term. Now, we'd like to also let you know, And we thank the Lord that our brother has the burden to continue speaking to us in this way. And we just want to let the saints know that we will resume these talks in August. And right now, the first date will be August 20th. So you could begin to mark those on the calendars. The details for all the dates in the next terms will come a little bit later on with email and spoken and other means. But we wanted to let the saints know what you could expect over the next couple of months. So with that, saints, I believe that's all. So hope to see you next Saturday for our final session with Brother Manoro. Thank you so much, saints. Praise the Lord.
Amen.